You're listening to ESL Podcast English Cafe, number 272. This is English as a Second Language Podcast, English Cafe, episode 272. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff McQuillan, coming to you from the Center for Educational Development in beautiful Los Angeles, California. Visit our website at ESLPOD.com. Download this episode's learning guide, an 8 to 10 page guide we provide for all of our current episodes that gives you some additional help in improving your English. On this cafe, we're going to continue our series on famous American songs, focusing on God Bless America and one of its most famous performers or singers, Kate Smith. We're also going to talk about something called the American Girl products, which are books and dolls that are currently very popular among young girls in the United States. And as always, we'll answer a few of your questions. Let's get started. This cafe begins with a continuation of our series on famous songs. Today, we're going to talk about the song God Bless America, which is a patriotic song. Something that is patriotic, P-A-T-R-I-O-T-I-C, is something that shows your love for your country, coming from the Latin word patria, meaning country. You can be patriotic by, for example, putting your country's flag in front of your house, or perhaps volunteering to serve in the military, the armed forces, or by volunteering to help other people in your country to make your country better. You can also be patriotic by celebrating your national day. For many countries, the Independence Day, if they were once part of another country. You can also sing songs like God Bless America. Well, if you're American. If you're not, then you would sing, of course, a different song about your country. God Bless America was written by one of the most famous composers in the early 20th century, Irving Berlin, in the year 1918. Berlin, at the time, was serving in the U.S. Army. This is during the end of World War I. After he wrote it, he set it aside because he was working on other things. The phrase to set something aside, A-S-I-D-E, means to decide not to continue working on something right now, to save it for later. Berlin set aside his new song for 20 years, and finally, in 1938, he started working on it again. We might say he picked it up again. To pick something up can mean to take your hand and to lift it up in the air, but it also can mean to start working on something. We often use it with musical instruments. I want to pick up the piano. That doesn't mean you want to lift the piano in the air, which would be a little difficult. Instead, it means you want to learn how to play the piano. Well, in this case, when we say Berlin picked it up again, we mean he started working on it again. He changed the song from being a song about war to being a song about peace. The song, in fact, is written as a prayer. Prayer is the notion that you are talking to God or having a conversation with God. When God blesses someone or something, God helps and protects that person or that thing. That's the idea when we say God blesses something or God bless you. That means we want God, if we believe in God, to protect you, to take care of you. That's why when someone sneezes, people often say, God bless you, meaning we hope God protects you and keeps you healthy. And by the way, don't get too close. I don't want to get your cold. So in God Bless America, we are asking God to bless this country, to protect this country. I'm now going to sing the song first without music. Then we will explain the lyrics. And then I'll sing it again with music. Of course, I have to sing. That's why I record these podcasts. My real ambition, what I really want to do, is be a professional singer someday. Unfortunately, I don't sing very well. Well, here we go. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Now let's look at the lyrics or the words in the song. The singer, as I mentioned, is asking God to bless America, the United States, the land that I love, the country that I love. We're asking God to stand beside her and guide her. To stand beside someone means to be loyal to that person, to support him or her in good times as well as in bad times. So we say, stand beside her and guide her, or help her along her path. As in many places in English, a country is often referred to using the female pronoun, she. So we say, guide her. Then the song asks God to bless America from the mountains to the prairies. P-R-A-I-R-I-E-S. A prairie is a large flat area of land covered by grass. And in the United States, you may know, there are two mountain ranges, places where there are a lot of mountains. In the east, the Appalachian Mountains, and in the west, the Rocky Mountains. In between is the agricultural center of the United States, and these are where you will find the prairies. So we're asking God to bless America from the mountains to the prairies, the entire country. That doesn't include California, but, well, maybe God doesn't want to bless California. I'm not sure. Anyway, we're also asking God to bless America all the way to the oceans. Okay, so here we go. We're part of that. We are telling him, asking him to bless this country to the oceans white with foam. Foam, F-O-A-M, refers to a lot of white bubbles on the top of some liquid. You could have foam on your milk. You could have foam in the ocean when the water comes up against the land, the shore, we would call it. Finally, the song ends with, God bless America, my home sweet home. The phrase home sweet home is often used to talk about where you live and how much you like it, how comfortable it makes you feel. Sometimes people will have little signs on their door that say, home sweet home. They're saying that they like the place where they live. Here, of course, we are using the expression to talk about the country that we live in. One more time, let's take a listen to the song. This time, I am going to be helped by my friends, some musicians. I'll introduce them after the song. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Take it away, boys.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light of love. From the mountains to the prairies to the ocean, white and gold.
I want to thank the band and singers from the United States Marine Corps at Parris Island. That's Parris, P-A-R-R-I-S, Island, South Carolina, for their wonderful playing and, of course, for their singing as well. When sung by someone who knows how to sing, that is, someone other than me, this is a very beautiful song. It was made famous, or really it was popularized, by one singer by the name of Kate Smith. She is the one who introduced the song back in 1938. She sang it with a full orchestra, or a large band with many instruments. And it's a very powerful, what we would call, rendition of the song. Rendition, R-E-N-D-I-T-I-O-N, refers to a particular performance of the song. You heard my rendition. You should really hear Kate Smith's rendition. Kate Smith continued to sing this song at big events throughout her career. If you have a chance to hear the Kate Smith version, I think you will like it. God Bless America is not our national anthem or song that identifies our country. Our national anthem is the Star Spangled Banner, which we talked about way back on English Cafe 153. You can take a listen to that. Some people, however, think God Bless America should be our national anthem, and they have attempted to change it, but I'm guessing they probably will not be successful. We'll keep the Star Spangled Banner, I'm sure. Even though God Bless America isn't the national anthem, the song is still heard a lot. In particular, you can hear it at a baseball game, a professional baseball game, during something that we call the seventh inning stretch. An inning, I-N-N-I-N-G, is a part of a baseball game. In soccer, what most of the world calls football, there are two halves to the game. In baseball, there are actually nine parts of the game, nine innings. During the seventh inning, in the middle of the seventh inning, the tradition in the United States is for everyone to stand up and to stretch. To stretch means literally to take your arms and extend them out so that you are stretching your muscles. The idea is that you have been sitting for a long time, so now you need to get a little exercise, if you will. During the seventh inning stretch, now in professional baseball, you can hear the song God Bless America. Now, you might ask why it is sung in baseball games. Well, it was never sung when I was growing up. However, after the terrorist attacks on September 11th, 2001, many people wanted a way of remembering those attacks, but also is a way of honoring those who are in the U.S. military. So they added this song, God Bless America, and they have someone come out and sing it. You never will hear a record or a CD, a recording. There will almost always be someone there, a singer, singing the song. Members of the U.S. Congress, our legislative body, sang the song on the night of the September 11th attacks, and the song was also recorded by the Canadian artist Celine Dion as a way of making money for the people who were injured or hurt in some way by the attacks, as well as their families. Not everyone loved the song when it was first released. In fact, one singer, a folk singer by the name of Woody Guthrie, actually wrote a song in response to God Bless America called This Land Is Your Land. We'll try to talk about that one on another cafe. Our next topic is a line of dolls and books called American Girl. A line, or a product line, is a group of related products. So you may have a company that sells hair supplies, things that you would use with your hair. This is something that's, of course, very important to me. So they may have brushes and combs. Those would be considered a product line. They're all related. They might even have the same color or the same style. American Girl is a product line that includes dolls and books. A doll, D-O-L-L, is a toy that is made to look like a human, usually. Traditionally, girls play with dolls, although sometimes boys do, probably more of a recent thing, boys also play with little things that look like humans, but they generally don't call them dolls. They call them things like action figures. They're really dolls, but there is a difference, and you certainly wouldn't want to say to a little boy that he was playing with a doll. At least most little boys may not like that. In any case, the American Girl line was started by a woman named Pleasant Roland. Roland was looking to give some dolls to her nieces, but she couldn't find exactly what she wanted. She saw a lot of baby dolls, which are meant to let girls, for example, pretend to be mothers, and she saw older dolls, which were meant to let girls pretend to be adults and play with clothing and hair. She, however, wanted to find a doll that would be appropriate for a pre-teen girl, or a girl who is almost a teenager, but not quite yet. Usually that's considered between the ages of 9 and 12. Once a child turns 13, they are then officially a teenager. Of course, the word teenager comes from the fact that the ages between 13 and 19 all end with teen. Anyway, the American Girl dolls are based on historical characters. The product actually tries to teach a little history to American girls by getting them interested in characters who lived during specific periods of American history. For example, one of the dolls named, I think it's pronounced Kaya, K-A-Y-A, is a Native American from the Nez Perce tribe living in the year 1764 when the United States was still part of the British Empire. Another doll is called Felicity Merryman. She lives in Williamsburg, Virginia, in the year 1774. We talked about Williamsburg, Virginia on English Cafe 260. You might want to listen to that one. There's another doll called Kirsten Larson, who is an immigrant from Sweden in Northern Europe, living in 1854. There are books that go along with the dolls that explain who they are, as well as the historical setting, that is, the situation in American history at the time that these people were actually living. Although the books are meant for children, they do cover some important topics in history, such as slavery, racism, where you discriminate against people based on the color of their skin, alcoholism, the problem of people who are addicted to drinking alcohol, war, and child labor, or the practice of having very young children working in factories in places that are often dangerous. Girls who like the books also buy the dolls for each character, as well as many accessories, things such as clothing or little furniture. Today, many dolls and accessories are available for purchase in this line of American Girl products. There are also, believe it or not, American Girl movies. The first movie was made in 2004 and was called Samantha, An American Girl Holiday. Since then, several other American Girl movies have been made, and if you are between the ages of 9 and 12, or have children of that age, you can go and find out what they are. I must admit, I've never seen any of the movies, but I'm sure that someday I will see one. I'm just kidding. I probably will never see one, but there they are. There's even an American Girl magazine and an American Girl website, of course, where girls can learn more about their favorite characters. They can also take quizzes or tests based on the books and play different games. As I say, I've never actually seen an American Girl doll, but if you know any American preteen girls, I'm sure they can tell you a lot more about it. Now let's answer some of the questions that you have sent to us. Our first question comes from Savor, S-A-V-O-R, in China. The question has to do with the difference between the phrases provided that and as long as. Provided that usually means the same in most cases as if. It can also mean with the understanding that or assuming some situation. For example, provided that Marie does her job, the boss plans to give her a raise, give her more money. Provided that is the same here as if Marie does her job well. Or another example, this office will close right away, provided that all of the paperwork, the forms and papers you have to fill out, are completed. Provided that means if this condition is met, if this situation is true. As long as can also mean the exact same thing. As long as Marie does her job well, the boss plans to give her a raise. It means the same as provided that. However, as long as has an additional meaning. It can also mean for a certain period of time. As long as you need me, I'll be there. I'll be there to help you. As long as you need me for the period of time, however long it is that you need me. I'm willing to work as long as necessary to complete my job. The things I have to do today. It could be an hour, it could be 4 hours. That's as long as. What's the difference between the use of provided that and as long as when they both mean if or with the understanding that? Basically, provided that is a little more formal. It sounds a little more formal. As long as, perhaps, although it's okay in a formal situation, it's also common in informal situations. One more thing. It's usually possible to drop or not say the word that in the phrase provided that. You could say, provided Marie does her job well, the boss plans to give her more money. You don't even have to say that. Next, Sergey, S-E-R-G-E-Y, from Ukraine, wants to know the meaning of something that he saw on a television show. Somebody said, hey, it's my G. Well, the letter G actually has a lot of different meanings in English. It's used informally for a couple of different things. The most common modern use within the last 25, 30 years or so, is for it to stand for another word that begins with a G, which is gangster, or as it's pronounced in the slang, gangsta. A person who is a gangster is in a group or a gang of criminals, people who do things that are illegal. However, it has become, through movies and songs, more popular, so that sometimes you'll hear just men particularly, or boys, say, "Hey, G, what's going on?" It doesn't necessarily mean that person is a gangster. Again, it depends on the group that you are with. I would never use the term, but people who are younger, for example, might use it informally. But originally, it was an abbreviation for the word gangster. An older meaning of the letter G is that it is an abbreviation for a grand or $1,000. You could say, "I spent 20 G's on my car," meaning I spent $20,000 on my car. Finally, G can also stand for the word gram, which is a metric unit of measurement. This is also an informal use, however, because usually when it's used this way, you're talking about some sort of illegal drug like marijuana, which is measured in grams. So, for example, the man was caught by the police trying to sell 2 G's of marijuana to someone else. The G there stands for gram. Using G as an abbreviation for any of these meanings is very informal. Sometimes it's only used, as I said, by certain groups, young men, teenagers, and those in their 20s, sometimes by women, especially in certain urban or city areas. Finally, Surya, S-U-R-Y-A, in India, wants to know what it means when someone says, "This movie sucks," or "This song sucks." Well, suck, S-U-C-K, is a very informal slang, really, use of the verb. Normally, to suck means to pull liquid into your mouth by using your lips and your tongue around something like a straw, where you take liquid from a cup and you put it into your mouth through a long tube. However, the very informal meaning is to be of poor quality, to be very bad, not to be very good. The movie I saw sucked. It was terrible. You can also just say, "Oh, this sucks," meaning this is a terrible situation. I have to emphasize, however, that these expressions, which are sometimes used by teenagers or young adults, are not to be used in any formal situation. In fact, you probably want to avoid using these expressions too much. Many people still consider them somewhat rude, somewhat vulgar, inappropriate in most circumstances. So it's best to avoid trying to use this one too much. It would only be used around, say, close friends and family. I say they're used by teenagers and young adults. They're also used by older adults, but it's a very informal and, again, somewhat dangerous expression, shall we say. You probably are best to avoid it. But, of course, you will read it and hear it, and now you know what it means. Something that is a very poor quality, something that is very bad. Something that is very good is when you email us your comments and questions. You can email us at ESLPOD@ESLPOD.com. From Los Angeles, California, I'm Jeff McQuillan. Thank you for listening. Come back and listen to us next time on The English Cafe. ESL Podcast English Cafe is written and produced by Dr. Jeff McQuillan and Dr. Lucy Say. Copyright 2010 by the Center for Educational Development.